Whatever you grill and whatever kind of grill you grill on, you should listen to our next interview. It's between our producer Sally Swift and America's Test Kitchen's Dan Souza on some of the basic skills of the grill. You know, little things like how to not make a fireball with lighter fluid. And some of the surprising differences between cooking with charcoal and gas. Have a listen.
Hey Dan, great to have you.
Hey, it's good to be here.
So we have been talking about eating outside this whole hour, and I have come to you for a guide to grilling.
All right.
I know that you have many opinions, and you guys have done a lot of research on this one. So I kind of want to start with some of the mistakes that people make when they're grilling, and I am wondering if you can kind of lead us through some of those.
Sure thing. Yeah, do you have specific questions, or you want to talk about some common mistakes?
Let's talk about some common mistakes, and then I do have a few issues of my own I'd like to clear up.
All right. So I think, you know, what happens is a lot of people, they only grill when it's warm out. So a whole year goes by and then they fall into some bad habits or never really knew to start with kind of best practices. And so there's a few places that, you know, it's not hard to do it right, but it's easy to go wrong. So I think the first one is if you're using a charcoal grill and you want to get it lit really quickly, which a lot of people do, a lot of people reach for lighter fluid. And, you know, it seems like a good option. You know, you spray it on the coals, light the match to it. Yeah, big old ball of flames and it's lit. But when we've done tests with using lighter fluid and using the self-starting charcoal, and we actually find that, you know, a lot of it burns off, but you can get some residual flavor, especially if you're cooking some really mild tasting food on there, that you can get some residual flavor from it. So we really recommend moving away from lighter fluid. And there's another great option out there, and it's using a chimney starter. So these are...
You can find them anywhere, right?
That's right. And they're not that expensive, and they last a really long time, and they're really great.
And how do you know, here's one of my questions, is how do you know when the coals are ready? Because I do use a chimney starter. Are they should they totally be white, or are there flames coming out at the top?
So yeah, you shouldn't see any flames anymore. You'll see flames early in the process and lots of smoke, and that will subside. And then when they're ready to go, they should have a light dusting of white ash over the top.
So you have to wait.
Yeah, if they're still black, then they're not quite ready. That light coating of ash, and you'll see that they'll sink down a little bit into the chimney, that's when they're ready to go. If you'd up earlier, you do potentially risk the fire going out or just not heating very evenly. So you want a light layer of ash on top, and you're ready to go.
Okay, can you walk us through kind of general fire setup?
Yeah, so we generally use three different setups when we're, you know, really when we're talking about either charcoal or gas. There's kind of a, you know, an analogy between the two. But so let's start with charcoal. And the three setups are a single level fire, and that's when we have the coals poured over the entire surface in an even layer. And that's really good for when you want to kind of char and cook at the same time. So, you know, smaller pieces of food, like if you were cooking sausages or maybe boneless, skinless chicken breasts, where you're getting some good char on the outside, but you're also cooking through at a moderate rate. That's a single level fire.
All right.
If you have a bigger piece of food where you need to cook kind of gently to cook it all the way through the center, but you also want to do some searing and get some char, that would be a two level fire. So what you'd want to do is pour the entire chimney into half of the grill. And so you have these two zones. You have a very hot zone and you have a cool indirect zone. So what you can do is start your bone-in chicken breasts on the cool side, nice and indirect heat, cook them until they're almost all the way cooked through, and then you simply move them over to the hot side and kind of sear and char. And that's a good technique for anything where the food is a little bit larger and you need those two different heat levels.
Okay.
And then the final one is what we call our concentrated fire, and this is corralling the coals into a small area. And sometimes we use a disposable aluminum roasting pan where we cut the bottom out of it just as kind of a corral, and we put a full chimney of coals right in that, and then we cook directly over it. And this is where you're cooking foods like steaks and burgers where you want a big disparity between the outside and the inside. So for a steak, we're looking for a really good sear on the outside, tons of char, and the inside we want to be about, you know, 125 degrees or medium rare. So we want that disparity, and that's a great technique.
Okay. And tell me about the lid. When do you use the lid and when don't you use the lid?
To lid or not to lid? That's a big question when it comes to
Seems
grilling.
Seems kind of basic, but I really am kind of stumped all the time about that.
Yeah, no, it's a really great question, and it actually does matter. So if you're working on a gas grill, generally speaking, they don't have the output of a charcoal grill. So a lot of times we recommend keeping the lid down when you're using a gas grill. You never want to light a gas grill with the lid down because it can trap gas in there and cause some problems there. But so you want to light it with the lid open. But for the most part, when you're cooking with a gas grill, you want the lid to be down.
Okay.
And that's going to make it a little bit hotter inside. The opposite is really true when you're working with a charcoal grill, because that's all about airflow. So if you have the lid off of a charcoal grill, you have a lot more air rushing through there, so it's going to burn even hotter. So what you want to do is, if you're cooking something like a burger and steak, you know, where you, again, want a really hot fire, you want to cook with the lid off. If you are cooking something that is going to go lower and slower, such as barbecue, such as, you know, indirect for a roast that you're going to sear, you want to cook with the lid on.
So actually the lid on in charcoal is actually slowing things down.
Yes, exactly. The lid on with charcoal is slowing things down. And what that actually leads us into is another really good point, is when you're working with charcoal, you have these grill vents. And
my next question, how did you know?
Oh, really? Yeah. So, you know, I think a lot of people are confused as to what to do with these grill vents, what they're for. And they're really cool because they actually have a huge impact on the temperature of your grill. As I mentioned, airflow is really what controls your fire with the charcoal grill. So if you have the grill vents and they're located on the bottom of the grill and on the top, if you have them completely open, you're getting more air through and your grill will be hotter. If you start to close them down, maybe a halfway or three quarters of the way, you will actually cool the fire down. If you close them all the way, you risk actually putting the fire out because there's no more airflow.
And you do have to clean out the ash from the bottom of the vent, I'm assuming then.
Yes. So cleaning is a big thing, and definitely starts with that ash bucket. If it's really, really jammed up in there, it's going to restrict airflow, definitely. You also, if you have a grease trap in a gas grill, you want to actually open that up and look in there and make sure that it's cleaned out. If you have a lot of grease buildup and you have a fire in there, it can actually cause a big grease fire that you know, can be dangerous and is definitely inconvenient.
Okay, that makes sense. I have a question about, you know, when you want something really charred when you're cooking on a charcoal fire, I've seen people like have oil bottles next to them and kind of squirt the flames to get the flames up. Does that work?
Oof, that's a dicey thing.
okay.
So there's a little bit of danger in that, and just in, you know, you're putting oil on a fire and it's very, very flammable. But beyond that, it's not really a great idea. A little bit of flare-ups, we call it a flare-up when you see a fire on a grill like that. A little bit can be good. So if you have, say, a burger cooking over the coals and a little bit of fat and juices drips down and sets off a tiny little flame, just a little one, that's actually vaporizing the oil and the juices. And a lot of that flavor can come up and actually stick back to the food, providing a lot of really nice grill flavor. So, but that's a very, very small little flare up. We do have kind of a cool technique that I will mention, where we're cooking a beef tenderloin and it's on the cooler side of the grill. And then on the hotter side, we have one or two pieces of bacon that we've kind of scrunched up on a skewer, and that's sitting over, kind of just over the hotter side of the grill. And as that starts to cook and render, you get those little drops of fat and juices that kind of flare up and do provide a nice kind of smoky, nice flavor to the tenderloin. But I would say that's the exception to the rule.
That's a sneaky recipe.
Yeah, it is.
I'm so happy to be cooking outside again.
Oh, me too. I've been waiting months and months for this.
Hey, Dan, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sally.
Dan Souza is editor-in-chief of Cooks Illustrated, and you can find the recipe for mojo-marinated skirt steak on our website, splendidtable.org.